Sometimes they say you don't know who to trust. Who can you trust? Who should you trust? Can you trust at all? Today I was just thinking about it, you know, keeping my mind occupied, try not to let myself get overwhelmed because I know I'm spiking my anxiety. Nobody's worth that. And I just think, like, you know, when people blow your trust, and some people just completely annihilate it, there's no turning back, never be trust again. There's another thought, you know, I have to explain what the heck transpired and how and all this stuff. I'm just going to say, and this is the truth, and none of this is, I wish this was just a joke, make-believe, I really wish it was, but it's not. This is why you stay on top of your emotional well-being and your health. Internal health is important, just as, if not as important, if not more, than your internal health is your mental health, your emotional well-being, your happiness. And that's what therapists, social workers, counselors, even clergy are there for, is to help you out. And I think if more people, as I agree with my insurance agent, if more people would seek therapy, at least once a week, the world would be a better place. There wouldn't be so much hostility and violence out there, and that's the truth. But a lot of people, mostly women, wouldn't have to live and go through the things they do either. But that's the truth too. But I sat there, thought today, is, you know, what is trust, and who can you trust, and should you ever trust, and is there ever trust again? And you go through certain things in life, and you don't come out on the other side the same person, and you're not going to, and you shouldn't. The tougher the trials and tribulations, the more I think you come out on the other end a completely changed person to the extreme. And I'm definitely not going to be the same person, period. Trust is earned. It's not giveth, and it's not going to ever be with me again. Trust me on that. But I thought of things throughout the years, over the past decade, it just weren't making any sense. And how I was omitted through a lot of things that made no sense. And you'll have people that blame other people. You know, when my grandmother passed away and her house was put up for sale, nobody told me. I was told by one individual that it was the decision among these two that made the decision not to tell you. Well, these two should have told me because that was my grandmother. Nobody told me. I find out from a high school fellow classmate, when I did have Facebook, and since then I had deleted it. I just didn't feel any need for it. It was for me, Facebook, to reconnect with high school friends. I had a lot of friends in high school to reconnect, and I was always the one that got the gatherings together and stuff like that, but nobody wanted to get together. It was just really, I thought Facebook was just a way for people just to be nosy and look at what everybody's doing and what they look like and yada, 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 and that's my opinion. I'm entitled to it. I removed my Facebook. I saw no point in it. But I saw pictures. This is not a joke. This is the truth. And I thought, man, these pictures look like my grandmother's house. Then I thought, there's no way, because clearly somebody who told me, yeah, I'll let you know when we sell the house. And then I said, please let me know, because I want to take a video of photos, you know, before you sell it. This is my grandmother, for crying out loud. This isn't a stranger. My childhood is part of his memories as my grandmother. As my family member, I have a right to know. Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll let you know, whatever. Do you do anything out of the house? I said, no, I don't want anything out of the house. Not anything sentimental anyway. Yeah. Or, a value. It's more of, I'm sorry, more of sentimental, not value. And that's just how I've always been my whole life. But, I was never told. Nobody ever told me. Still, I find out, like I say, sometimes, and a lot of times, I'm going to just say this point blank. You're going to find things out when the universe will let you know, and loved ones, period, in heaven. That's the way it is. You're going to find things out. You're going to find out eventually. If not, when it happens, you're going to find out later. Sometimes months, even years, and even over a decade. Like, I find things out now, which doesn't make it the past. It makes it my damn present. Period. And you go through a process of understanding, acceptance. Coming through therapists, you go to a process of healing, of closure. But most importantly, you have to make peace for yourself. Nobody else but for yourself. There's behaviors from people that are not acceptable and not okay, and they don't have to be forgiven either. And there's really bad behavior that is just uncalled for. But I had no idea my grandmother's house was being sold. I had someone from high school, their daughter, and I don't know if it's fiance or husband, bought my grandmother's house. She had pictures she shared of them renovating her house, remodeling it, and lo and behold, it was my grandmother's house. This, folks, is how I found out about my grandmother's house being sold. I was never told. Was I bent, slighted? Oh, hell yes, again, I was. Did I make phone calls after that? Yes. Was I upset and angry? Yes. And I should be and should have been, because it would have been not normal not to be. Is it called emotions? But I was just given excuses. This all makes sense in a minute. I didn't know when my grandmother had fallen in a nursing home and she was rushed to hospital. Nobody told me. I found out through a third party from somebody seeing things on social media. I was told, did you know that? I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother. I don't know what you're talking about. Same grandmother. So many secrets hidden and things hidden from me that were never okay and not acceptable. And it's just, as a therapist looks at it, you are completely omitted. Like, you don't even exist. That's how you're treated. Alienated, abandoned, orphaned, whatever you want to call it, is how you're treated. It's not a pity part, it's fact that you need to accept it and look at for really what it is, Kim. And I have, logically. It's helped me to make peace and move forward, because you have to. But you don't forget. You don't forget. And some things are just not forgivable. Secrets. Not okay. Someone going and knowing and taking part of going to every single doctor of mine, interfering with my care. Doctors told me, they got strange phone calls, they're upset, they placed legal disclosures and letters. If they ever contact, come up to the office, they'll be asked to leave, they'll be legally met with our attorneys, cops will be called, you name it. I didn't know they were doing this. I was found out from my specialist, a psychologist in Ohio. Another time is during oncology treatments. I didn't have the support that I should have. And the person that was there, Eric, was not even there anyway. I'll say it again. When I get home from oncology treatments at the house, I'd wake up and he was nowhere to be found. My beloved family members, my pets were there. They were there unconditionally, loved me and supported me, and they were there. That's why I feel so strongly the way I do. My pets are my family, and they go with me, period. And it is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I find out Eric makes a phone call asking someone, same person that tells me that, yes, these two individuals decided not to tell you about my grandmother's house. This same individual was called and asked, listen, you need to come up here, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not getting into everything your conversation, but it was legitimate. You can pull your phone records up way, way back. You just had to request them from your phone carrier, and it'll show the phone number and calls that are made, and it was absolutely correct. Eric lives in Fantasyland, has done a lot of lying, don't really know who he is, but there's things that I make sure is factual, and it was fact. I have a copy of the phone record, and he did call. And the person instead made a decision not to be present for me. I asked why, and asked Eric why, and said, because they were babysitting. You should have been camped outside of everybody's strong opinion outside of the oncology room. There was no excuse, no fans or buts. There's another part to heal and go through with therapy. Another part. Now, just recently, over the past 48 hours, I find out that when Eric abandoned me at property in Ohio, excuse me, I was going through seizures. I had epilepsy at a younger age. It wasn't followed up. The referrals and the care wasn't there. I have medical records that state it. I did not know anything about this. I had to find out through disability attorneys in Ohio and Indiana. This is the truth, so help me God, my last dying breath, the truth. Wasn't followed up on care. I ended up with seizures and epilepsy resurfaced during the regrowth of the tumor. The growth of the tumor, ovarian tumor. I had an ovary removed. Microscopic fragment was left behind. It's called ORS, ovarian remnant syndrome. Is it rare as hell? Yes. Have I gone through crazy stuff with my health my whole life? Yes. Did I ask for it? No. Is it fair? Hell no. But I've dealt with it. Period. With no pity parties, and I've jumped the hurdles, and I fought my ass off, and I continue doing so. When that happened and my hormones and chemicals and imbalance and everything was going on, we didn't know this tumor was there and growing. We didn't know the ovary was growing back. We didn't know that. They just knew psychologically something wasn't right, and it had nothing to do with your mental health, something internal. Because the symptoms I was displaying, like sweats and things like that, had nothing to do with mental health. It was a lead hospital psychiatrist who worked with a partner who I was seeing, a psychologist in Ohio, who literally pegged it and talked to other specialists at their hospital that they were the head mental health provider. The go-to in that hospital. And it wasn't just one hospital, it was a unit, a group of hospitals, more than just one location. And they said there's something internal. They were right. There was a tumor growing. It ever grew back. It started triggering seizures, epilepsy. I was under neurology care. Eric went with me. The neurologist told him the importance of being present because I was having seizures. They were very serious. There's something going on. I'm not sure what's going on. Well, we didn't know the tumor was growing back. or growing, excuse me, I didn't know I had complications from major surgery years prior. This is the truth documented. Eric is at work, hanging around underage young kids that are in their 20s, the corrections officer, we're talking about people at the academy. He should have been hanging around people his age, and that come from someone in his family as well, made that opinion too, a strong opinion. You hang around people who you hang around with, you end up starting to act like them. That's the truth. When you're an adult, you hang around adults around your age, period. Or older, that's the truth too. But contacts me and asks, hey, listen, I'm going to go to Florida for 2 weeks with so-and-so at work. What do you think about it? Wasn't can I or should I? This person named Eric is literally watching me have seizures and asking me, while I'm active seizures, while under neurology care, hey, what do you think about me going to Florida for 2 weeks? That's not anybody that you want to be around, that you want to marry, that you should marry. And I wasn't even married to him then. That was not okay. I literally got his clothes and everything out of the closet. I was ready for him to leave because right there I thought this is crazy. I made a couple of phone calls to three friends, two that I had known for many, many years, over a decade. Okay? This will all make sense in a minute of how cruel and heartless things have been. And that I have puzzle pieces over the last 40 hours that make sense and provides a great insight to trauma therapists that I've been seeing for past, what, a couple of years now. I told Eric, are you out of your mind? I'm having seizures and you're asking to go to Florida for 2 weeks? Okay, at that point I hung up. I got his stuff out and I wasn't playing. I said, you need to leave. You get your head on straight. I had talked to two close friends I've known for over a decade. I was like, listen, if I need help or whatever, you know, or, and then one of them said, you should just move in with me. Bring your pets with you. I had four cats, two dogs, bring your pets. And that was the truth. So help me God, the truth. What happened at that time is this individual, the same individual who hid about my grandmother selling her house, same individual who decided to babysit kids instead of being attentive and understanding the seriousness of what I was going through, oncology treatments, is the same individual I realized that contacted Eric's dad. This is the truth, so help me God. His dad verified. Contact over the house, not once, but twice. And told Eric he needs to come back to the property that I told him to leave. Because I'm too old. We are, as Eric, these are Eric's words, we're too old to take care of her. I wasn't going through oncology treatments then. I wasn't as sick then. I was just having seizures. This person was educated and even typed out and printed out a paper of how you're supposed to be around somebody with seizures. Neurology wanted them to educate themselves on how to be supportive around people having seizures. When push came to shove, I had a seizure. They had no idea what to do. They didn't read anything. They didn't look at anything. They had a piece of paper on them. I don't need to get into names in that. And you do this while I'm having a seizure. But the kicker part was they literally contacted Eric when he's going to work and said, I need you to go back to the house. This is where closure and understanding is coming in. And it's not anger or anything. It's not emotion. I'm thinking logically. And I am going through therapy to do so. I'm not going to stop thinking logically. And I start feeling emotionally. Like they said, you got to go to a phone number, you got to call, you can't contact the office, you send me an email, whatever, we'll talk. I don't care what time it is. Don't want you to think emotionally. You don't have that energy, and I need to spend it on your health right now, on yourself, and not on anybody, period. Which you think logically and reasons why. And I have the last 48 hours. I realize it's the same person doing all this stuff. But what they did by asking somebody who abandoned me, and they knew that they abandoned me while I'm having seizures, you know, I asked them to leave. Okay, but they weren't planning on coming back, and they weren't planning on working things out, and they weren't planning on getting their head on straight. They left. Okay, a normal person who cares about you, and when they say they love you, and I wasn't married then yet, okay, doesn't just up. And when somebody says get out and get your head on straight and leave because you're sounding crazy and having seizures and you're talking about Florida for 2 weeks and you just ran a neurology appointment and they told you the seriousness, you need to be present with me. And when you know what they did? They went to back to their parents' house. They went to Hooters. Eric. Well, I'm having seizures in that. You're saying you care about me, you love me. I'm engaged at this time, not married. And you're going to Hooters and acting like nothing happened. He literally went and changed his phone number. He got a new phone. This is not a joke. This is the truth. So help me God, my last dying breath. All this stuff happened. I'm on the phone with two friends of mine I've known, male friends, for over a decade. Told them what was going on. One said, come over and move. The other said, I'll send a plane ticket and you fly down and you stay with me. You bring your pets. I've always told you, you need anything. I wondered why Eric wanted to come back and was like, he never really said he was sorry for his behavior, which was absolutely uncalled for and crazy. You don't act like that and make plans to go to Florida and somebody's having seizures. But the thing was, is I look at it now, is what was told to the sheriff's department to other deputies wasn't a joke. It was fact that he was getting married to me because of benefits, that he knew if I died, he'd gain benefits. That's not a joke. It's a recorded conversation. I have the cassette, and now the attorneys do, and one does, and they're safe, along with the legal separation agreement and a file folder of about 20 inches thick, and this is not a lie. And they have dealt with domestic stuff head on. They know what it's like, and they pegged Eric within 5 minutes of what I dealt with and who I dealt with. But the other part of the puzzle that really I have been questioning, because I've been really sitting back and watching behavior and things that transpire that make no sense and secretive things and not being honest and doing things behind my back. And then every time they get called out, they call everybody else a liar and they don't take any responsibility for their decisions and actions that are extremely hurtful. But a decision to tell somebody to come back on the totem pole that they were, to come back to the house after not being responsible at all, putting somebody in seizures at risk, knowing they talk to neurology, knowing they don't just leave somebody, and instead you're worried about looking at tits and ass at Hooters, okay? I'm not saying anything bad about Hooters because I'm just going to say this for people who didn't know. I worked for Hooters. I did promotional stuff for radio stations in Dayton, Ohio. While I was working for American Homes Products, A.H. Robbins Pharmaceutical, which I did over-the-counter, and I did damn well until they merged with Whitehall Robbins, and I did work with them for a while, too. This is the truth, without a college degree. I worked part-time at Hooters as well for extra money. I always worked. At least one job, always two, always had a backup, whether it was doing promotional modeling or something. I worked for Ashley Talent Agency in Ohio for many years, said to my cousin. I got her on, but this is the truth. Goes to Hooters instead, gets her phone number changed. They weren't planning on coming back. What they were doing is planning on ditching me. This person called and told Erica, you need to go back to the house and take care of her because we can't, because you're too old. That made no sense. So you're asking somebody and you asked somebody to come back to the house and they did, and you forever changed my life for the next 12 years because there was other people that were willing to come to that house. And I'm believing that Eric's being sincere and, oh yeah, he must really love me. I'm engaged. He must really love me. He's coming back to the house and stuff. And I literally drove over his parents and he's like, yeah, yeah, and this and that. He wasn't planning on coming back on his own. He was coming back because this person called him and cornered him. But you're cornering somebody, calling somebody who is negligent, abandons people, abandons children, is abusive in every which way, shape, or form. And you're bringing them back. And then you're on the totem pole. Shouldn't you have called and talked to me? And said, listen, let's find a game plan. Let's figure this out. I want to help you. What can we do? And instead, you threw me off to another guy. A friend of mine, Kevin, listens to his podcast. We had our indifferences. I still considered him a longtime friend. I'm going to say friend. Okay, we had our differences. We're not talking right now. But he said something on text message, and I still have it. And he says, this person has a track record of tossing you off on men because they don't want to deal with you. They don't want to deal with your illness. They don't want to deal with the inconvenience, and they don't want to deal with the burden. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I showed my therapist that. And he said, absolutely, they are correct. And it's really hard, and it's harsh. But I think you need to understand reality. But now I understand. And it's on video as well. I told Eric, follow up on this. If that wouldn't happen, that person saying, listen, you need to go back to the house, when you made the conscious decision to act the way you did, with no care or concern at all, okay, my life would have been different. My past 12 years would turn out different. My health would have been different. I wouldn't have been so stressed. And under so much stress, craziness, I wouldn't have put up with the things that I had from Eric. My life would have been different. I would have been able to celebrate holidays normally. I would have had a far happier life. Because let's face it, life has been tough and very seldom happy. But I'd always did the best I could to make happy memories and happy times and a smile at the end of the day and laugh at something. Whether it's me doing crazy podcasts or whatever, I don't give a shit. Excuse my French, what anybody calls me crazy. That was my way to release. That was my own therapy. Because I was going through a lot of things that people had no idea was transpiring going through. But I'm going to be honest right now. Period. The same person is doing all this stuff. But to literally hear from Eric. And why, I said, why didn't you tell me this 12 years ago? Well, I didn't want to start any problems, whatever. No. No, that's not it. There are psychological terminologies for what Eric has done. I'm not getting into it. Period. Some things I'm not. Some things I'm going to save privately. But no one should call anybody and tell them to go back to someone who does not need someone that is negligent, who doesn't give a damn about you, who knows you're going through seizures, and then they're too worried about going on vacation and going to see tits and ass at Hooters. When their ass should be, as neurology said, you need to be attentive, and I know you got to work, but you need to make sure she's okay and check up on her. Instead, you check up and call me from work, or a fellow deputy saying, yeah, I was thinking of North Florida for 2 weeks. And lo and behold, what everyone didn't realize, but most important to myself, is I had a tumor growing, ovarian tumor, and an ovary grew back off a microscopic piece of fragment that is the 13th in the world. That's unheard of. If it was the lottery, I say it again, I'd be a billionaire by now. Many, many, many times over. But I won the medical lottery, and that's not the lottery I wanted to win. But I've done damn well, and I fought my ass off because I'm not going to die. I'm going to outlive a lot of people. And the people that weren't clapping for me are the people that I strive to outlive. I have a reason to fight my ass off, not just for my fur kids, but to also outlive the people who've done a lot of not nice things. And it's fact and it's documented. But for someone at a totem pole to sit there and know with this person just acting like this when going through seizures, and they're supposed to love me and I'm engaged, and instead you leave, you push me, and per therapist, this is an example of them pushing you, and they push you so they can find a reason to leave. Eric pushed you to get him to leave, but you told him to get his head on straight. You're not staying here when you're acting like this. I need somebody to help me out when I'm having seizures. I don't know what's wrong with me. I had two other friends I've known for over a decade. They could have helped me. My life would have definitely 1,000,000,000% turned out different. But instead, I have this person telling him to come back because they don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want to be burdened. Don't worry. You don't have to anymore. I'll never speak to you again. What's done is done. And I had enough. That's not any kind of caring or loving about anybody. But it's not just one thing. It's a track record of things. And blaming everybody else for their behavior. Pivoting me against somebody else and creating estrangement. And I realize if this other person really would know what I've gone through, I think they would have not done things they've done to me. They just don't realize the whole story. Maybe one day I hope, and even therapists said, hopefully they'll understand when peace is had by all. And they're, and it's not just them, it's psychologists in Ohio, is how peace will be had. Is hopefully then that they'll realize that there was pivoting placed between both of you because they didn't want the relationship, break relationship for you to have. They wanted you to feel how they did. I'm still wrapping my brain around it. This is not the first that things have been secretive and I find out. Is it hurtful? Yes. Am I emotional about it? No. Because I've been through so much, I don't have any crying left. I have fight left. That's the truth, so help me God. And I have logic and rhyme and reason. And I sit back like I have 40 hours and I think about everything and I finally have had those aha moments and moments of clarity and most importantly, closure, which gives me peace and realizing this is the damnedest thing ever. And who really was orchestrating everything? is disturbing. It wasn't a lie. Well, why would you ask somebody who literally was per therapist fighting an exit because they didn't want to take care of you? They didn't want to be around you as anybody supportive or loving or fiance, or a husband. They were pushing you to find an exit, and they did. But then you had this person contact them and their father, their parents' house, demanding they go back, and they did. And they kept it from you for 12 years. See, they really never, Eric never loved you. He just used you. It was just a convenience. And it was after, as one domestic attorney said, that deals with a lot of domestic violence cases is, and domestic abuse, is there was a need and a want, and it was never about love. It was just somebody that was pretending. And you were taken for a joyride, and you didn't know any better, but it's not the person who you thought you married. It was a fraud. And anybody acts the way they have, that's not love, that's hate. That's a for a convenience or a gain. And they strongly believe, as the other attorney, it's a monetary gain for your benefits. We handle that and take care of it to where there's no benefits to be gained. And we protect everything, and they have. But this really happened. I spent today on the phone with multiple attorneys at B, and one of the state of Indiana, to get into a judiciary hearing, which I successfully at 6:30 was able to get a call back from another individual to secure a video hearing to let the judiciary judge and go in front of the judge, because I'm not able to travel that far to the courthouse and let them know this is why I have to get all my benefits. I got to stand on my own 2 feet. And I don't want to have to do it. But I think once everything is explained and the other attorneys speak and chime in, and the state of Indiana does, the judiciary judge will understand fully, completely. And that's where I gamble my benefits and my insurance. So I can be an entrepreneur and pursue a career. And if I fail at what I'm doing, I will try something else. I'm not going to give up. You know why? Because I'm not going to let other people win. I'm not going to let people win. I have one goal, is to outlive a lot of people who've caused me a lot of hell. And I'm going to succeed, God willing. He'll let me succeed. There's a reason I've surpassed things that probably should have killed me time and time again. It's not my time to go. I got to outlive some people. That's my goal. But I needed to release this because it will make sense to a lot of people. Behavior was never okay. You don't put somebody in your rank on totem pole and tell somebody to go back. Because when you ask somebody to go back, you literally ask somebody to go back that was wanting an exit to get away. And I went through a lot of hell for 12 years. And I didn't know how to get out of it. And it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And here I am. I'm getting the hell out of it. But I realized your decisions caused me a lot of heartache, headache, pain, and it affected my health. It affected my emotional well-being, and it was never okay. And I'm not okay with it, period. I don't know if I ever can forgive you. I don't know if that's forgivable either, but it's part of the not forgivable. Like, you not being there for me, I was going through oncology treatments. You made a decision to babysit instead. That was your decision. I don't need to say names or titles or anything. You're listening. You know who you are. I would never do that to you. That's what makes us different. So I'm a good soul.